What you're first trying to find out is, are they motivated? Do they have a reason to want to sell to somebody in an easy fashion for cash? And if they do, then usually we can figure out a way to make the property work. So the first thing first is just motivation. And there's a lot of it out there, especially now with, you know, people not wanting to let people in their house.
You're listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. This is your seat at the table. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. This is producer Darren Clark, and we have a great chat between Roland Frazier and Brian Daly today. Brian is a successful real estate investor, entrepreneur, writer, and speaker in San Diego, California. He is raising money and flipping homes in a pricey market, and he's making it work. So if you're interested in real estate and how to compete in a tough market, this episode will be very insightful as Brian walks Roland through a typical deal. If you love this show, will you take a moment to subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen? We really appreciate your support. And remember to visit us at businesslunchpodcast.com for show notes and more. All right, let's begin.
Hey, everybody. Roland Frazier here today with Business Lunch. My guest today is Brian Daly, a fellow San Diegan. So we're socially distanced properly apart here in San Diego from each other. And welcome to the show, Brian. How you doing?
Thank you so much. Totally honored to be here. Been a fan of the show for a while.
That's awesome. Well, I'm happy to have you on. Would you just, so everybody can kind of get an idea of what you do now, before we dive into your entrepreneurial journey, share that with us?
To put it really simple, I flip properties in San Diego. You know, we like to pretty it up a little bit. Not a big fan of the word flip, but we buy distressed assets and fix them up mainly through construction. I love real estate. I love business just as much. So I'm getting a kick out of building a team and a brand, and I have a lot of fun with it.
That's awesome. And where are you in terms of like the volume or of sales or houses that you're flipping now currently every year?
We bought 25 properties last year, and we'll probably buy 60 to 65 this year.
That's awesome. And what's the average price that you're buying? Because you're buying in San Diego. It's a pretty expensive market, right?
Yeah. Average price that we're buying at is about 450, 500,000. Average sales price is 600, 650,000.
Okay. So you're buying $30 million of property this year. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
It varies pretty greatly. You know, as you know, we could buy $1 million house in Carlsbad or $300,000 house in Encanto.
Which is better?
You know, right now Encanto. For us, considering San Diego is such a housing shortage, we end up selling that in the low 500s. And it's like on repeat, 25 offers per property when we list them.
Even now, and since the shutdown and everything, is it still a pretty good clip of offers?
Yeah. I mean, for a while there, we were a little worried. But since the shutdown, buyers started, I guess, gaining that more confidence or just realizing that they didn't want their crappy apartment anymore. I don't know what it is, but buyers are everywhere. There's not enough inventory and there's a lot of offers.
That's really cool. I love it. Well, so now how does one get into the business that you're in? Where did you start getting into this real estate thing?
It's a cool thing about real estate. And I think it's from what I understand, similar to like digital business spaces, the barriers are relatively low and they're all mental, I think. So
always, right?
Yeah, right. So, you know, there's 1,000 different ways you can get into the business. For me personally, I've been in real estate since 2005. You know, right before I left for college, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, life-changing book. It made me realize I want to own real estate and I want to own businesses. And that's what I've been focusing on since. And so I started off in mortgages actually in 2005 and various roles in, you know, industries or niches since then. But in 2011 is when I started investing in real estate. First stint there I did during the recession, the Great Recession, whatever we're calling it.
2007, 8, 9, right?
Yeah, I worked for the dark side. I joined the banks and got a lot of experience. You know, I managed a portfolio of 300 properties at a time across the country. So
wow.
That's actually the big stepping stone into getting into the investment side, because I would, one, got a lot of transactional experience. Two, just saw a lot of properties going to cash buyers and realizing, you know, this is what I read about in Rich Dad, Poor Dad, what I wanted to do. And I kind of got sick of selling them to people that were doing it. So I just decided it was about time we did it ourselves.
It was kind of like that experience just really showed you the proof that there were people doing this.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. And now, so this is something that I think I've seen a lot of people try to get into this kind of business. And as you said, most of the blocks are mental But some of the blocks are, I think, well, it's mental, but it's also somewhat real. The fear of how am I going to buy a $400,000 house and hope that I bought right and not, you know, not lose my butt as I'm going through the process. Because are you doing rehab as well?
Yeah, we brought construction in-house this year. We have the system that's working really, really well. So, you know, we're figuring out ways to kind of maximize and take advantage of that. But yeah, we're doing all the construction. Our average construction is about $62,000 now. And we do big jobs, you know, and it is scary for new people. But to answer your question, the one thing that was really hard for me, because I'm always living in the future, is just to realize, like, look, everybody started somewhere. So when we started, I say we because I had a business partner at the time, we knew real estate. We didn't know anything about construction. But we heard about this idea that you could lock a property up and sell the contract without ever taking the actual risk. You were putting your earnest money deposit at risk. And that's called wholesaling. So that's what we did at first. Yeah. And we didn't even know what we were doing there.
And how did you go about finding properties?
So this was in 2011. And the market was overrun with inventory, a lot of short sales and a lot of foreclosures. And me and my business partner, our expertise at that time was dealing with real estate agents because that's what we were doing when we were managing foreclosures. So mm-hmm. we leaned in to what we knew. We knew how to talk to real estate agents, and we had a unique angle because we were asset managers, and every real estate agent at the time wanted to know an asset manager. Okay. We could not do anything for them, but they didn't really know that. And
they just wanted, they didn't know why they wanted to have that relationship. They just wanted to have it.
Exactly.
Nice.
So we were still working as asset managers, but we did not conflict. I did not own or manage any properties in San Diego because that would be a no-no. But yeah, so that's what we did. We called properties that were on the market and started creating relationships with real estate agents. And that's still what I do to this day.
So if you were starting over now, would you do kind of the same thing? Is that the path you would take?
That's what I did because I started over last year. So
you can actually say yes, as a matter of fact, that was, right?
Exactly. That's what I would do. But to the point that we talked about at the beginning, there's 1,000 different ways to start in real estate if you want to get in this investment world. And that works for me. I don't, you know, there's probably other ways and better ways to start if you didn't have the experience that we had working with real estate agents. But it just took a lot of grit, right? It was just like, you know, every other entrepreneurship journey. I mean, we had a 9-to-5, which was more like a 9-to-7. And then from 7 to 12, we would scour the MLS and make a list of who we wanted to call the next day. And then on the way to work, we would start going down the list as we were driving. I mean, it was a routine that we did for probably about 6 months.
So what you're doing, your way is different than most of the ways that I hear, which is that most of the people are doing like direct mail campaigns and things like that. So you're not doing that kind of stuff as much as, do you pull up just, it's not realtor.com or Zillow or what, how do you do that?
No. So in my first iteration of doing a business in this industry, we did a lot of direct-to-seller stuff. And we did it at a time when there weren't a lot of other people doing it. And so we were able to, I guess, corner that market. And we were spending a lot of money. We were spending $40,000, $50,000 a month to market to sellers.
Yeah.
As I started over this time, you know, the reality is now people have, in this industry, competitors in this industry have 5-10 years of experience marketing to sellers, and they've created machines. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's big players that spend a lot of money, and they do it the right way. It's really, really hard to compete with that unless you're prepared to set up a machine, or unless you're prepared to really get your hands dirty, I guess, and without a better way of saying it, by going to knock on doors and just being the person in front of them.
Right.
So a long-winded way to say, you're right. Yes, I do not do any direct seller marketing. I do not really do a lot off the MLS though anymore. We focus on branding our company as just a partner to real estate agents. And our client avatar is a real estate agent. Her name's Julie. I don't even know if she knows. She's a real person, Julie Lupo. Yeah. And we love her, and she's our avatar. And that's all we do. We focus on creating dialogue, creating relationship with and loving on real estate agents. And then the leads come to us. And that's how we kind of focused on growing our strategy this time around.
And so what are you looking for? Like, what are you telling Julie that you're looking for?
Usually it's motivation. It's the same thing that you, if you're marketing to a seller, what you're first trying to find out is, are they motivated? Do they have a reason to want to sell to somebody in an easy fashion for cash? And if they do, then usually we can figure out a way to make the property work. So the first thing first is just motivation. And there's a lot of it out there, especially now with, you know, people not wanting to let people in their house.
Oh yeah, no kidding. Yeah. So and so what are you looking for? Let walk me through a deal. So let's say that, you know, pick any one that you want, but Let's say you make the call to the real estate agent and you say, I'm looking for, I'd love for you just if you could say, what do you say to them that you're looking for? Then they bring something to you. Can we walk through one just to kind of share with people how it works?
Yeah. I mean, typically we say, look, we're looking for a property that needs a little TLC. And if, you know, as I mentioned, our typical property needs a full renovation. So we're not scared of the big jobs. We're not scared of the small jobs, but typically we're ripping everything out and putting everything in new, from bathrooms to kitchens. And so typically the house has been neglected and it's not going to qualify for financing. And they're looking for a fast way to move it without the ins and outs of fallout. I mean,
when you say it's not going to qualify for financing, tell me what that means.
Okay. When the property condition is rough, which a lot of these are nasty, and a lender is not going to finance it. They're going to require a lot of repairs. And in most cases, when the property is like that, the seller is not in a position to do repairs.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why the property is like that.
Exactly.
Okay. So you found that property. You called Julie. She says, hey man, I got a property down here and it's 400K. They're looking for it. And it's in, you know, it's in pretty rough shape, but I know that doesn't scare you. Then what do you do next?
We jump on it, quickly do a desktop analysis, make sure that we're within reason.
And are you looking just at comps around like normal houses, what they're selling for, to kind of figure out what the spread might be?
Exactly.
Okay. And so, then how do you make your offer? I mean, meaning how do you price that?
Well, we got this spreadsheet that is complicated yet simple for us. But, you know, so you type in what we think we're going to sell it for. You know, in this case, we're just doing a desktop analysis. So we're estimating what the repairs are going to be based on what we know about the property and similar properties we've done in the past.
And are you pricing with a real estate agent selling it, or are you selling those yourself?
Most of the time with our partners, they're relisting it on the back end.
Okay, cool.
Sometimes, you know, we're buying from other investors, or what they call wholesalers, and they don't need to relist it. So it's a 50-50, but when we're working with a real estate agent, we're letting them relist.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you plug in your numbers.
Plug in the numbers. Yeah. So it's a simple calculation of what we're going to sell for, how much is it going to cost, how long is it going to take, and then it spits out an offer. So as long as we're within reason, you know, with $50,000, $25,000 within what they want, we'll go out there immediately, ideally within 24 hours if they're willing. And then we like to provide a verbal offer. At this point, I've done enough of these where, you know, if I'm seeing it or my director of construction is seeing it, we don't need contingencies. It's just a straight offer. We don't wholesale it. It's our cash. We're going to close on it. And yeah, we usually close at this point, you know, in order to compete these days, which does make it hard for new people to come in, is, you know, we got to close within 10 days usually.
Okay. And are you using financing or is it all cash?
Financing. Yeah. We have relationships with two primary hard money lenders. We have our primary and then a backup.
And for people that don't know what hard money is, we give a very quick overview of that.
Yeah. Hard money is basically, it's financing. It's just a loan, but they do it in a way that they can close in 3 to 5 days. Usually it's based on the value of the property and not necessarily my finances, right? It's just an asset-based loan. So,
and are you liable on those? Is that something you have to personally guarantee?
Not anymore. To start, I was. And then now I just make sure that I have the conversation that I've done enough of these. I don't need that personal guarantee anymore.
Okay. And so now if the house is selling for, say, 400K, and let's say it's going to be worth 500 when you're done, you know you've got about 100 in it. Or maybe I should say 600. It's going to be worth 6. That gives you, and it's going to be 65,000 of repairs. And you've got a real estate commission on the back. Do you have an amount that you're targeting that you want to make in terms of a dollar amount or a percentage return on a property?
Percentage return. So I'm a numbers geek, and I believe in protecting downside more than the upside. So, you know, it really does depend. But for us, our max offer is usually around, if it's a really cookie cutter house, we know very confidently where that property is going to sell for on the back end. And right now, how quick properties are moving, we're usually around 9% cash on cash return.
Okay.
Which is pretty slim compared to what it used to be. We're averaging, because of probably market appreciation, and we pride ourselves in doing a good job. We're averaging probably at like 11%. But
on a 400K house after repaired value, where you're out a full amount of 400K, you'd be expecting to sell it and net 36K. Is that about right?
Yeah. So I base it off of purchase price plus our rehab plus our holding costs is, you know, all the cash that's required to go into it. So on a typical house, our out of pocket cash is probably around 510,000 ish. Okay. And so we'll want about 9% of that as our max offer.
So now if you're out that 510, how much of that comes from the hard money lender?
They'll do 90% loan to cost now if our margins are good enough.
Okay. And 90% loan to cost, meaning, so on that 500, let's say it was 500.
Let's just say they'll lend 450,000.
Okay. So you have a 50K gap between, and that's everything that you needed, right? Including the fix up costs.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's usually about 60 to 70, give or take, on that lower of a property.
And then are you funding that gap with your money, or are you using investors, or how does that work?
Investor money also. So I have one primary investor, really, which is great. Love him. And he lets us do what we do. He trusts us, and he comes in with that gap money. And we have other investors as well. And we structure it in many different ways. It depends on the investor.
And what does the investor look to get out of that?
We pay our investor very, very well. For our primary investor, we do a joint venture. Because he's usually has $3 million out with us at a time. And so on average, I think he's averaging probably about 30 to 40% annualized return on his money on the gap funds. Great.
Yeah. Nice. So he's making $1 million, $1.2 million a year off his
three.
That's pretty good, right?
But we also have other like smaller investors we're trying to actually right now grow our investor pool, because we have a lot more opportunities than we're taking advantage of. And so we're in the process of launching a fund, which thank you for your recommendation to Brad. Brad's great. And so we're also doing trust deed investments right now, since we've got a really good track record of performing. So, you know, we'll pay 12 to 15% annualized if it's 100,000 at a time or something like that. And then soon we're doing this, like I said, we're doing this fund where we're going to raise $5 million at a pool, and that'll be at an IRR of 15% or more.
Yeah, perfect. So it sounds like a super fun business. Like, if somebody wanted to get into it, what would you suggest they do?
First off, look at, like, be really, really honest with yourself with what your skill sets are, where your unique strengths are. Because as I said, there's a bunch of different ways to get started. Maybe your unique strength is you have access to a lot of capital and you know the numbers. Well, then maybe you can just go buy off the MLS or go start talking to real estate agents, and because you already have all the other stuff figured out. If you don't have cash, maybe you're really personable. You're not afraid to talk to people. Go knock on doors.
Yeah.
Or cold call, which I hear people are doing very, very successfully these days.
And are there books that you think are particularly good, or any other resources that you found to be exceptionally helpful in doing this?
I haven't read a book about getting started real estate investing in a long time because
you haven't started in a long time.
Yeah. So I really am not the best to answer that, to be honest.
No, that's cool. We have plenty of resources we can recommend for people. I just wanted
Kent
to see
Clothier, if you had a, right? I mean, he's
Kent Clothier is a real estate worldwide, is definitely .com, a good place to go. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to kind of explain this stuff and break it down for us. If people wanted to get a hold of you, or if they were interested in talking to you about the possibility of investing with you or anything like that, what would be the best way for them to do that?
I'm on Facebook. Facebook is probably the easiest way to find me. Brian Daly, Brian C. Daly is.
And spell all of those names, just because there's so many different ways to spell things, and Facebook has
There's probably a million Brian Daly's out there.
Exactly.
It's,
I know you're in San Diego, so that's a good start.
San Diego, yes. BRIANCDALY. Our brand for our company is The San Diego Homebuyer. It's just spelled out.
.com?
TheSanDiegoHomebuyer.com, yep.
Perfect. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And do you have a podcast or any other places that you like to connect with people?
I don't have a podcast yet.
Soon to have a fund, though.
I'm going to have a fund. So I really am really enjoying the business building side of this. You and I talked about this before. Yep. Like, I love real estate. I love the business building side of it just as much. And I'm really focusing on San Diego real estate. So I started a real estate newsletter So if anybody's in San Diego interested in real estate, I've got that as well, which I put out weekly with all the market stats, and I try to make it interesting as much as I can.
And that's on your site?
It's getrealreport.com/signup. I don't know. That's a terrible
URL. Getrealreports.com. That's a good place to start. And I'm sure they can find the forward slash, right? Awesome. Well, dude, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to be here. And I'm excited to hear all that you do with the fund and look forward to seeing you in person as soon as all this craziness goes away.
I know. Thank you so much. It's
been thank you.
You've been listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. If you're enjoying the show, let us know by subscribing and leaving a review. And for more information, go to businesslunchpodcast.com. Thank you for listening.
What if 3 days could change the course of your business in 2023? Get Scalable Live is where you'll gain great clarity on the next steps that will help you create the business, life, and wealth you deserve. Connect with business owners and entrepreneurs just like you, hungry for advice, proven strategies, and necessary connections to grow a business.
Literally, million-dollar conversations are happening in the hallways, in the bathrooms, across tables.
Get Scalable Live at Fairmont Austin, November 2nd through 4th. Tickets are on sale now at GetScalableLive.com.